This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. Today, we have a conversation with Pastor Andy Finch of First Baptist Church Choctaw, and he's going to be talking to us a little bit about some ways that his church has been using technology in ministry. You know, like a lot of pastors, Pastor Andy was faced with a dilemma of how to minister to people during a pandemic with all these social distancing constraints and protocols and everything. And I think they've come up with a really good approach that I think you're going to want to know about and maybe use in your church. So, Pastor Andy, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we just we care about our people, like I know all pastors do, and we wanted to make sure we're staying engaged with them. Some of them we would see at services, but we very streamlined schedule, so people are just kind of come and go, so it's harder to keep up with them. And then certainly all the people at home who we weren't able to engage personally. So we just decided we probably couldn't call everybody. People don't answer their phones anymore. Right. So we have a plan where we are texting every church family, every family member, the adults directly every other week. And we've been doing that for about 3 months now.
Wow. So every other week, someone's getting a contact from you or someone on the staff. So that's like, if you're a member of the church, it's almost impossible to slip through the cracks during this pandemic.
We hope so.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit of how you organized that and everything.
Yeah, it was, I guess, kind of basic. We just took the church roll, the names and phone numbers and all, and we had them printed out. And then we have five guys who are on our pastoral leadership team, our ministers at our church. And so we printed it out, and then I divided it by 10, and then I divided the 10 sections into two stacks. So we have pool A and pool B, and each one of the five of us has a stack that we call every week out of that pool, and then the next week we switch and our text, and then we switch and do the other half the next week, and then we go back and forth. And so out of those five lists, that if you had list one this week, and then next week maybe you have list eight, the next week when you come back, you might have list two or four or whatever. That way that there was some variety of the people that you were contacting on their side of things that they were being contacted by. And that way we just stayed on top of engaging everybody that we could. We enjoyed very much that sort of personal touch. I mean, it's not right. The same thing as being in a room. And it seemed like our people really appreciated the fact that we were reaching out to them directly, even though it wasn't being in the same room.
Right. So, and you're not talking about group texts.
No, these were each one very individual. That way they could respond very personally, because we were saying, we care about you, we miss you, how can we pray for you? Is there anything else that our church can be doing to encourage you right now or help you right now? And we wanted people to be able to sometimes share things that were very private that they would only want us to know and pray for. And we wanted people to have that opportunity. And we didn't want it to seem like it was a text blast, and it wasn't. It was a individual personal touch.
So, yeah, and I would think if you got a text from your pastor or one of the pastors on your church staff and you knew it was direct contact, you might be more open to ministry. At that moment, have a need that or know of a need that should be addressed. Have you found any surprising things from this?
Yeah, I think early on everybody said, pray for our health and safety, because that's what everybody's thinking about. That was back when people were almost afraid to leave their homes under any circumstance, and they just thought, I don't want to get it. I don't want my family to get sick. But then things began to transition, and people began to share much more personal prayer needs, perhaps than they would filling out a card and putting it in an offering plate or offering box, that they felt the opportunity to share very directly. And the needs migrated to where people were saying, hey, we're stuck at working from home.
Right.
And we've had a good marriage for 25 years, and we find out that we don't really coexist well you know, 80 hours a week like we used to, 10, 12 hours a week, and pray for our marriage. It's really stressed under this.
Or right.
People praying, like I was really surprised by the number of men that said, pray for my mental health. I think maybe a year ago that would have been seen a little out of bounds in our culture, that
right.
just would seem maybe less than fully manly or masculine. But people saying, I'm struggling, I'm hurting, I'm afraid. And
right.
We're very open. And so it gave us an opportunity not just to read that. Then when people shared a prayer need like that, then we could respond very directly. And sometimes I would go ahead and at that point call them. But many times it would keep the conversation going with texting. And then we collaborated in staff meeting, we would share those requests, and ones that were public, we would put out on our closed member Facebook page so that the rest of the church could pray for. And then some of them just stayed within the staff because of the nature of them.
Right.
And if they got an emergency prayer need, they always forwarded that to me immediately, did a screen grab. And so it's still flowed back to me as needed,
right.
where it needed the pastor to personally directly respond. And I think it empowered those other staff members that people saw they were sharing in the duty or the ministry that sometimes might have been more something that I would have been doing alone. But I think it elevates them in the eyes of the people as well. And they've enjoyed that. I've been real proud of them.
Yeah, so it kind of breaks up the compartmentalization or the silos in your church. If the youth pastor is responding
yeah.
to families the same as the worship pastor or other staff.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was really good because they're engaging some people or families. They might not in the normal flow of things. It just reiterates, hey, we're all in this together. We're all one church family, one body. We're not siloed off. We have some unique responsibilities. And I think all that kind of changed with COVID hitting anyway. We just had to say, hey, we're not losing those primary areas of responsibility, but we've got to do whatever it takes to get through this. And we're all one team pulling on the same rope with
yeah.
one goal in mind. And so they were fantastic.
Wow. You know, and just from a, you know, I'm interested in the marketing angle on stuff. Sometimes I'm the marketing guy at the Oklahoma Baptist. But the open rate, like if you send an email or you send a letter, the open rate, the chances that someone's going to look at it and read it are fairly low.
Yeah.
You know, but a text message, it's up there. It's skyrocketed high. It's like 80s and 90s. People get a text. They're going to see it. It's also very intimate. It's right there in your face on your phone. And it's immediate because you can respond to it right there and get a response right back in a conversation. So I love that aspect of it. I was wondering, you know, this is a great response to the COVID crisis to be able to minister to people in this way. How would you compare what you do now through this approach compared to your pastoral ministry before? What would be different?
I don't know that I would say I cared more or less for
right.
people before, but I found that this is kind of really interesting because people have been much more open. Then, even though they always knew they could pick up the phone and call me if they had a need, I don't think that was something new to anybody. That if we were bumped into each other in the hallway at church and I said, "How are you doing?" and they really had a burden, they would share it with me. Or if they had a prayer request, they might write it on the tear off that's attached to the bulletin, that kind of thing. But I think we're much more aware because right. the line of communication is so direct.
Yeah.
People felt much more free to share. And it feels like a season where the facade of everything's fine and I'm okay and I don't
yeah.
have any needs are all exploded right now. So it
right.
felt very safe and comfortable for people to be
right.
very open and honest. And so even as I'm preparing sermons, I'm thinking about those needs. And there are so many more of them that I'm aware of.
Right.
Not that I cared more or less, but just now I have a vehicle where they're telling me them. And it doesn't mean I target in a negative way, but in a positive way, thinking, what is the overall tenor of what people are sharing? Are they more afraid? Are they more frustrated? Are they
right.
more just hurting? Whatever it is. And then we can use God's word without moving it somewhere it's not supposed to be, but as it's appropriate to really highlight those aspects
right.
of what God's word offers to us to be able to minister to the people, and then obviously just personally continuing to respond to them and call
yeah.
people. And it's great if they text me then if I call, they're not shocked if it needs to be discussed, or even sometimes a couple times set up a meeting and say, hey, we should get together and pray about that.
Right.
So it's been good. I think it has enhanced that. And just creates a deeper bond when you walk through challenges and heartache and fears and frustration with people. It creates that bond. Even though it's technology, it actually has drawn us closer together. It didn't create a divide that sometimes technology creates an artificial nature to an engagement. In this case, I think it really has brought us together.
Well, just the idea that you're polling, for lack of a better term, your church members about their spiritual temperature.
Yeah.
Half of them every week, that's got to impact your ministry planning, your sermon preparation, your intimacy in terms of understanding how to meet needs and,
absolutely,
get ahead of that. Now, and I like also that this is not any special technology. You didn't go out and buy an app or anything. You're just using your cell phone like everybody else has, and texting and a paper printout. I mean, that's, there's no technology. I mean, that's low tech for high tech.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. But now there are people that aren't very good with texting, senior adults, it's just never been their thing, or maybe they can't see very well to use text messaging. What are the things you are doing to minister to those senior adults who are in this situation?
Yeah, we certainly don't want to leave them out, those senior saint legacy members, people we treasure. In that case, on your list every week, we kind of know we've identified the folks that they need a phone call. And so we still do that, and they're the people who are going to answer the phone, because that's the only way they communicate, so we're doing that. And then as we have elevated our engagement with everybody else, one of the things we've done, this was super low tech, but we identified the people that are homebound. We're just not going to see them under any circumstances. We've had some outside services, some mask required on top of our regular ordinance service with some special safe environments. They're still not going to come to that because they can't get out. So we said we need to figure out a way to engage them. And the old method of me or one of the other pastoral staff members going to their home is not a good idea. Some of them have family members who don't go to church or our church and who would be really offended during an epidemic or a pandemic of us going into their home and engaging them.
They're high risk.
Yeah. And so we didn't want a good thing to become a bad thing for anybody, and we certainly didn't want to make them sick unknowingly.
Right.
So we put together, our staff headed it up with other teams of people, and then a couple times just our staff, and we went kind of like Christmas caroling instead of going out and singing Joy to the World or Silent Night. That would have been, I guess, a little different in the middle of the summer, but we went and we had made arrangements ahead of time, and they knew when we were coming, and we went to those people's homes. We worked that out with their families in some cases so they wouldn't misunderstand that we're not going in, not doing anything dangerous. We texted or called, in their case, said, we're here, and they would either come to a window, if that was what they were comfortable with, or they came to their front screen door, or a couple times they came and sat out on the porch, but we didn't knock on their door, we didn't touch door handles, we didn't do anything that might be worrisome or intimidating to anybody.
You're like a
12 feet away. Mm-hmm. We said, whatever the standard is, we're going to double it. That way we didn't have to wear a mask, and they didn't, because we wanted to see them and them see us. And that stifles conversation a little bit, but we made introductions. Sometimes the people with us didn't even know them. And then instead of singing Christmas carols, we sang hymns. And I originally tried to pitch it instead of caroling as hymnaling, but the staff talked me off that ledge. And they said, that's going to sound a little dorky to people. But we did. We just went and sang. And then they would sing along. And I know it's not church, but it just gave them a little slice of being with some people in their church family. So that ended up being a kind of a good secondary measure to engage those people and care for them.
So you have you also are using technology during the service. Talk about that. How you're using a dedicated telephone number for people.
Yeah, we got some. Right now pastors are getting emails every day about 80 different pieces of technology that if you don't have it, you're not going to survive. So sometimes it's kind of hard to get through those weeds, but we did stumble across something that we thought was cost effective, and I don't even remember the name of the company, so I'm not pitching anything, but I think it's about $10 a week, And we realized that some of our oldest members weren't going to watch our online services, which pretty much everybody does now. And we didn't want to alienate them. And we had, in the times past, been sending out CDs or DVDs, or and it just became problematic to get those to people because now there were more of them, and people didn't even want you to come to their door with anything when all this started.
Right.
So we pivoted to a phone service that's really easy because they just – they have to sign up. They call from the phone they want to use and enlist, and then once they've done that, every Sunday – at a assigned time, their phone rings. So they don't have to think, I better call church, I better, you know, figure out how to get online, I better – the phone that they've assigned, whether it's home phone, cell phone, rings, they answer it and it says, welcome to First Baptist Choctaw. And the we actually just – you can do it live, and I'm sure people a little bit more high-tech than us, but we just realized we have a lot cleaner broadcast if we record the last week's service and then play that this week. Mm-hmm. And so that comes on every week. Mm-hmm. And they are able to listen to the service and to be able to maybe not participate firsthand, but it just it reduces that sense of distance and separation just a little
right.
bit. With a technology that obviously they're already super familiar with, and to them it's free. So even there's no cost whatsoever,
right.
and we've been using that and been very pleased with that.
Now, is that the line also you can text back to, and then people
no,
can
we
respond?
Have a different way we are engaging people. That we just like everybody else, we realized okay, we can't pass out a lot of papers. People don't want to touch a lot of things that are common, like an offering plate. So you have to make all these pivots and switches. So in this case, it's kind of nice. We got a what's a free service. Google Voice has a text component. And as long as you use it every few weeks, it stays active. If you ever stop using it, they kill it. But it's totally free, and then anybody can look at it on any computer that has the password to your Google ID. And so we can share it as church staff. But in our services, instead of having people come forward to the front where with music playing and people singing, it's hard to hear, and especially people wearing masks, or even go to a separate room where, again, now you're in an enclosed space. We realized for our church, may not fit everybody else, that we needed a different way for people to respond. We
right.
believe that you preach for response.
Right.
You know, nobody cast a net in the water hoping not to pull fish up with
right.
it.
Right.
So we just got a Google text number, and we use that for everything. When we welcome our guests, we have it on the screen where they can see it in the room, and they also see that in their homes and that the center screen we have. They're invited to text their name and the word guest, so we can identify what they're texting for.
Right.
And then that goes to any device we want it to, and then when we do signups,
right.
So like right now we're signing up for people helping with a first responder breakfast. We have people sign up to work, do trunk or treat and some other things,
right.
And they just text their name in case they're not already in our system, and then whatever word we assign or a couple words, and that's been really great because we can get instant feedback. We can
right.
sit there in the service.
Yeah.
I mean, if I wanted to, I think maybe that's a little much. People will check
don't
in.
Don't text and preach.
Yeah. Well, they're doing the welcome while I'm sitting there long before I preach. I can say, glad that you're here. But we invite people, if they're watching at home, a lot of them will just comment if they're watching Facebook or YouTube. But they're welcome. They're invited to sign up for those events as well, so it's a unified yeah. system. And then that works really great because we can talk back to them. And so whoever's event it is, so if it's a children's event, our children's pastor can go on there and glean that information and personally thank those people. If it's church-wide event, I can. If it's guest, I can. And that's proven to be a free but very useful tool for us. May not work for everybody, but our folks are used to it. So we used to say before, years ago, we had signs on the screens in the churches that please turn your cell phone off.
Or right.
Like they're intrusive. The reality is now they're using them.
Fire that thing
so
up.
We say, get out your cell phone. And first time, a few times, people looked at us like, are you kidding? And then we said, save that number in your phone. If you're a guest, type guest. If you're everybody else, hold on to it for the rest of the announcements. And then they engage that way. And so now sometimes Most people, because we've been texting them from our own phones,
right.
Which, by the way, somebody might say, well, that's kind of weird. But the reality is the church helps offset the cost for the phone and all that. So it's only kind of fair. But
right.
But we wanted it to be personal, not distant. But now people use that other text number to communicate to us generally as well. So that's kind of helpful. So that's been good for us.
Have you used it for a response, like if someone's needing prayer for, like, to come to know the
Lord? Oh, yeah. So at the end of the service, I'll say, yeah. That's good. We have a screen that pops up. Normally, what would be our time of invitation and response at the end of the service where people come forward, I have a screen that's behind me, and I just repeat it as well. If you're today, you'd like to talk more about becoming a follower of Jesus, becoming a member of our church, mm-hmm. or getting baptized, or you just have questions about the message in any way, you can text me about that. So it's neat when I get home and finish eating lunch and get to settle down for a few minutes to have people say, hey, tell me a little bit more about that point that you had in the sermon. That's refreshing to be able to talk that out. And certainly people who say, like yesterday, got a text from people said, we want to join the church. And so I was able to use that to text back to them and set up a meeting for Wednesday night to visit with them about what it means to become part of our First Baptist Choctaw family.
Wow. So just text just as I am to X number.
Yeah. So I say text your name so we know who you are in case you're not in our system, and then whatever they want to. So that's been some of those things I think we're probably going to hang on to even after the pandemic's over because they've proven to be great tools for any season.
You think you'll keep doing that individual texting of everybody?
We'll probably slow down some.
Right.
We may move to monthly.
Right.
It's not that we care less. The sense of the heightened sense of urgency will probably settle down a little more.
Yeah.
And to this point, people haven't said, you're wearing me out, leave me alone, stop talking to me. And by the way, we collaborate as a staff. We'll say, who's not responding?
Right.
And if three or four times in a row, family that we haven't seen, like if we see them at church for worship, we know they're good. But like, wow, we haven't heard from this family now. They didn't respond to your text or my text or your text, then for us that's, you know, code red or whatever you want to call it, that we need to go do something more where I reach out as the pastor to them, try to make a phone call, text them something beyond we're going through mm-hmm. the directory, any prayer needs, just say, hey, we're missing you guys. We love you guys. How can I encourage you? And it becomes a little more focused at that point. So that's been a helpful tool for that even.
Wow. This is great, a great use of technology. Pastors are used to preaching the text, and now they're preaching with texting.
Yeah.
And, it's been a pleasure to hear all this, and just pray that the Lord will continue to bless everything you're doing at First Baptist Choctaw through
this
ministry. And thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this conversation, we have more conversations like this on our website at baptistmessenger.com, or you can look for the Inside Podcast wherever you download podcasts.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. To subscribe, find us on Spotify, the iTunes Store, or your preferred podcast platform. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com today. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.